Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Praise the Lord. I appreciate his faithfulness. I appreciate the hope that he has given to us. Thank God for that we're not muddling through this world. We're just trying to find our way like the people of the world. But I don't know, I've had some thoughts, and I'm just trusting the Lord to focus the way he wants to focus, and to make some sense out of it, because, you know, my mind tends to go in so many different directions. I can think of scriptures, and then, boom, I got so many others that come to my mind. And you don't need my sermon. You need something that the Lord wants to say and wants to emphasize. And my mind just went to the world that we live in. And God has, as we've said many times, called us to live in a certain time and place. We're here not by accident. We're here because God has caused us to live right now, and he means for us to serve him in the context of this present world. And he has revealed to us, and I don't think we need some special revelation if you know him, to see the condition of the world and where it's headed. We know that Satan at the end of the age has been loosed to seek out his ends, and that's to gain complete control over this world, to drive the influence of God out of it. We know that the world is not our friend. And so here we are. And what is the Lord looking for from us? What do we have in the way of resources? You know, it was emphasized, but both of the brothers, all that we have in him, the provision that we have in him is more than enough. But I believe God wants to focus my mind and all of ours on what's going on and how, you know, what are our resources? What is he looking for from us? And I thought of a scripture just as a kickoff point in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And John is talking about who are the real believers? Who are the ones who really are his children? And he's having to deal with the fact that some are not, but there are those who are really his. And he says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I think you know that the way that's used, he's not talking about some mental belief in an idea. Rather, this is a heart conviction that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. He's the Christ. He's the chosen one. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And there's the love that we're meant to have towards each other. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Now, you got people out there that think that means, you know, keeping commandments in the sense of the Old Testament. But basically, it means doing what he says, going by his word. Not by our own ideas and will and all of that, but it's going by believing his word enough to walk in it. That's what he's talking about, okay? In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. How can we say that we love God and just we don't do what he says? That doesn't make sense, does it? And his commands are not burdensome. Now, here's the verse that I was focused on. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Now, there are two words that would bear some definition in that scripture, the world. You know, we think of the physical world, we think of the political systems, the economy of the world, and all these, you know, all the issues that arise from our living here. But I think we know, if you've been around at all and you know the Lord and you've known him any length of time, you know there's more to the world than just simply what we see and detect with our senses. There is a spiritual order of things. There is a kingdom that is far more than what we see. We see governments interacting, we see war, we see trouble, we see all kinds of things. But what we don't see with these natural eyes is the intelligence the design that is behind this. And as Satan, with the talons, if you will, of the dragon himself, digging in deeper and deeper and trying to mold and lead the world, this whole system is a system. It's a system of government. It's a system of ideas. It's a system of just satanic control. Paul tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, we can get all upset about people and systems and things like that. But I'll tell you, that's not our enemy. Of course, our enemy is here. But in terms of out here, our enemy, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. See, those are unseen governments. Rulers of the darkness of this world, a spiritual wickedness, or the wicked spirits in high places. They're very real. And I'll tell you, the people of this world have no idea what they're a part of. They are enmeshed in a system that has such control over them. In fact, I think later in this passage, it talks about the world and the fact that Satan has the whole world, I think at the end of verse 19, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Paul speaks of the fact that, he speaks of the people of the world, he says, in whom the God of this world has done what? Blinded the minds of those who believe not. We know from other scriptures, he's not talking about just ignorance. He's talking about people who know some facet of truth. God has revealed himself in some measure to them, and they refuse that message and choose instead to believe what they want to believe, what the world is telling them, what their worldly friends are telling them, wherever that information is coming from, or it's just thoughts coming into their heads, they're believing that and rejecting what God would say. And so there is a blindness that descends upon the heart, and that blindness prevents them from seeing the things that we were singing about this morning. Those are not just religious ideas. I'll tell you, God is real. Jesus is real. What he did is real. Jesus sits on a throne. We worship one who holds the keys of death and hell in his hands. He is the victor. And he wants us to be overcomers in him. But there is a world to overcome. And so that's what he's talking about when he's talking about the world. Now, of course, earlier in the book, he defines what the world stands for. When he says, don't love the world. Okay, what does that mean? What is he talking about? What aren't we supposed to love? All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. There are desires that arise in our bodies that if we just give in to them, then that will become our master. That will be what we live for. And you see people all around that are doing that. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. What can I possess? I want more. I want more. You know, this if only, or you know, what you're looking across, I need that. If I only had that. And God does want a spirit of contentment. Praise God. So the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The original temptation was for man to be his own God. Is that not the ultimate pride? And talk about delusion. How somebody like me, any human being could imagine that I am a God and I have every right to tell God to go take a hike and reject anything he would say. Nobody tells me what to do. But that is the spirit that is overrunning our world. And it takes so many forms. You know, the apostles in their letters warn about deception. It's not just out there. It's not just heathendom and, you know, serving things. It gets into religion and it gets into what purports to be Christianity. And so you have many who have a form of godliness, but what? There's no power. In other words, they have the words and the ideas that somehow relate to all this, but God's not there. And if God's not there, what do you have? How am I going to be anything other than the lost, helpless human being under the dominion of sin unless God's power comes to play in my heart and my life? I have no power to be anything different. Boy, I'll tell you, the deception that we have today And so many have learned how to bend the ideas of Scripture. I was born that way, so God loves me and accepts me as I am. Well, I was born that way too, and I need a Savior. I was born in sin. Everyone here was. I need a miracle that only God can perform. And He does it not because I deserve it, but because Jesus took my sins to that cross and He took me with Him into that grave. And when He came forth, there was a new me that came forth with Him. Amen. Praise God. That's what I need. I need Jesus. I need the reality. And folks, I tell you, the closer we get to the end, the more we are going to see the difference between those who really serve Him and those who don't. Those who have something less than what we're talking about. So here's the world that we need to overcome. But what is it that overcomes the world? It's even our faith, isn't it? Now, you know, we have plenty of stuff in the, plenty of scripture, but I thought about that in the context of Hebrews chapter 11, something that we probably need to take a fresh look at, because that's when the apostle, whoever wrote this, whoever is the human author of this, God is the author. But he lifts up the what faith is all about. Praise God. All right, says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So faith deals with two different things, doesn't it? The first is a confidence about something that isn't here now, but it's in the future. Is that right? If God has given me a promise of something that He will do, and I have confidence enough to rest my soul upon that, see, that's part of what faith is about. Now, how many of you were born with faith? Yeah, not one of us. Where does faith come from? Comes from the Word of God, doesn't it? It comes from God invading our space, revealing Himself not just to our heads, debating with us ideas and all that kind of stuff and trying to get us to be more religious. It has nothing to do with that. It is the revelation of God that comes all the way past this, right down into here. It reveals who God is. It reveals who His Son is, but it reveals who we are. And that's where people jump off the train. They don't want to face their own need before Him. But oh, if we can, wherever there is a humble, receptive heart that will open itself to the work of God in the heart, there is a quality, there's something that comes from God's own nature. You know, if I wasn't born with faith, and I wasn't, it just does not, see, it doesn't exist in Adam's nature, does it? But faith is one of the fruits of. See, if I'm going to have faith, I'm going to have Him living in me. That's going to set me apart from everybody else.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.